Madhuban. So just very short distance from Madhuban, there's a very interesting forest named Palavan. Now we all remember this very interesting pastime in Palavan. Because the cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram, they were all playing in the forest and they were resting. That's very interesting, because suddenly this breeze was carrying a very sweet smell. So it's described that that Palavan forest in Brahapurana describes that just a short distance from Mathura and a short distance from Govardhan Hill, just in between, there is this Palavan forest on the western side of Mathura. So the cowherd boys were playing just on the east side of that forest. Why? Because the wind carrying that sweet smell was coming from the east. And the time of year was just around Janmashtami time. So that means rainy season. And in rainy season, you see most of the time now the wind comes from the west. But when the rainy season comes, then the wind comes from the east. So they must have been sitting on the western side of that forest, because the breeze was coming from east. And the sweet smell was coming of tala fruit. This tala fruit, one type of... Of course, if you go to Talavan, you won't find, only one is there. There's a temple there, and one tala tree is there. But I've never been there during the time of the fruit, because it must become ripe, because it was sweet, and it was rainy season, so it must be ripe in that rainy season. Kartik means it's just at the end. Rainy season's almost ended, so right at the beginning of rainy season. So all the cowherd boys, they began to tell Krishna and Balaram that, oh, this nice smell is coming. And there's all these beautiful tala fruits over there. We would like to taste them, but you know, there's one problem. That there's a big demon named Denukasur. Denuka means ass. He's staying there in the shape of an ass. And he picks all of those tala fruits and he takes them to King Kamsa and his associates. And they don't let anybody else. They never offer those fruits to the Lord. They never offer those fruits to the devotees. And they guard that forest that no devotee or saintly those fruits. But Krishna and Balaram, we're so hungry. It'd be nice. So then Krishna and Balaram, they smiled. Because they were worried about this demon, so they smiled. Srimad Bhagavatam says they, Krishna and Balaram smiled. And when they started their prayer, very nice, they said, Rama Rama Mahabaho. Krishna Dusa Nibharana. First they were praying to Balaram. Rama Rama Mahabaho. Said, Ram, you have these big strong arms. Rama Rama Mahabaho. Krishna Dusa Nibharana. Said, Krishna, you're the eliminator of all these demons. So they were praying like this. First to Balaram. We'll get to that in a minute, why Balaram. So anyway, so Balaram went in that forest and he began to shake this tree like anything, this big tall tree, and all the fruits began to fall down. Poof, 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 big sound was coming. So Denuka immediately asked, you know, they have big long ears. Yep, no, that's what you're to do. So immediately he heard all this noises going on. So he came there, he saw Lord Balaram, so immediately he went running up to Lord Balaram and he began kicking him in the chest. And then he went and he sang some poetry to chant his glory. Prabhupada said, he thinks he's a great philosopher and he speaks his philosophy and he thinks he's a great singer and he's singing. So, Then again he attacked, he then came up and he put his back. This is the wrong thing, we should never put our back to the Lord. So he came up, he put his backside to Balaram again, getting ready to kick him. Because you see, this is the way the asses fight. They turn their back and then they kick. That we described the other day in class. So, anyway, so then Lord Balaram, he just grabbed him by the hind legs, swung him around, threw him into the tall tree. And that tall tree fell over, hit the next one. Like dominoes. So then all the other asses, they saw that their friend Dhenukasura was killed, so they first attacked Krishna and Balaram. Specifically mentions Krishna cha, Rama cha. The first Krishna and Balaram. Now this is very interesting. It could be that they saw how strong this Balaram was, that they're afraid, let's try the little brother. Or it could be that Krishna, out of affection for his big brother, Dauji, he came in between them. Anyway, it's very interesting. Somehow they attacked Krishna first. So, anyway, then they killed all of those demons. And then that forest became open for all the cowherd boys. And not just cowherd boys, everyone. All the Vrishvasis were able to go there peacefully and offer tal fruits to Krishna and enjoy the prasadam like that. It was open season. And that's where. And King Kamsa became very angry. Very soon found out no more tal fruits were coming. So then he found out Krishna and Balaram, they've eliminated all of the ass demons. So then, after that, they all lay down. Somebody sat down and Krishna put his head in that cowherd boy's lap and somebody massaged his feet like that. Balaram also, someone massaged Lord Balaram's feet like that. Then they went home and all the gopikas came on top of the houses to see Krishna and Balaram. They were just in anxiety when Krishna and Balaram were out of sight, and they came up on the houses, rooftops, to see Krishna and Balaram coming home for the cows. And then Mother Yasoda and Rohini, when they heard what happened, then it's described in Nectar Devotion, describing symptoms of anger in ecstatic devotional service. So Mother Yasoda and Rohini, when they heard that Krishna had, what had happened, and that the cowherd boys had let Krishna and Balaram go and encouraged him to go to a dangerous place like that, they became angry out of ecstatic love for Krishna. Like, why are you taking him to such a dangerous place? If you knew that Dhenukasura is there and you encouraged him to go there, so they became angry. And then immediately dressed their sons and fed them very nicely and put them to sleep. So, who is this Dhenukasura that we have to go to page 33. So there was one son of Bali Maharaj. Now this is very interesting. He was the son of Bali Maharaj. And his name was Sahasik. So one time he went to the Gandamarana mountain range. And he took one apsara with him, Tilottama. Very beautiful apsara named Tilottama. And Duras Muni was there meditating, and these two were performing some rascal activities. Just like we have seen sometimes, last time the Alachua Girls Gurukul came here, then this was the meeting place. I'll meet you at the Krishna Deva, you know. One goes this way, one goes the other way, we'll meet at the Krishna Balaran tree. One goes toward the Gurukul and around the Rikama path, other one comes this way and meet here. At Krishna Balaram tree, like that. So they met in the Gandamana forest, and Dravas Muni was there meditating, doing their. So he became very angry. He said, "Fool, you're just like an ass. You foolish ass-like person. Therefore, you become an ass for 4 lakhs of years." Huh? And then you will live in the sacred forest of Palavan for 4 lakhs of years, and then Lord Balaram will come and liberate you. Now why this Dhenukasura was to be killed by Balaram? Because Bali Maharaj, he's descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. And after Lord Nrisimhadev killed Prahlad's father, then he promised him that I won't bother any of your relatives ever again. So Krishna can't kill this Dhenukasura. Only Balaram can kill this Dhenukasura. So therefore Balaram did away with this Dhenukasura. Now Tilotama, very interesting, he also cursed Tilotama. You know who she became? She became Usha. Usha and Aniruddha, you know that story. So Tilotama became Usha. Banasura, daughter of Banasura. She got born as daughter of Banasura. So Srila Bhaktivinoda explains, and this is also another reason why Balaram killed these demons, that these two demons, he says here, these two demons killed by Baladev, one was Dhenukasura, one was Pralamba. These two demons are killed by Baladev, but the contaminations they represent will have to be removed by dint of the devotee's own endeavors. This is one of the secrets of Braja Bhakti. Up here at the top it says, Dhenukasura represents ignorance of knowledge of the soul through gross materialistic intelligence or jackass-like foolishness. Because ass, he's the favorite example, you know, beast of burden. Someone working very hard just for some little bit of grass. So this is an example of the materialist. See all the parrots, they're laughing. This is a big joke. So, because as he carries very big, big burdens. Again, when we come here to Vrindavan, then we read about these things in Prabhupada's books, we never get to, I don't even think we can see ass in West. You ever see ass in West? I stayed in Durban for 3 years. I didn't even see cow, what to speak of ass. And we went far in the forest, not forest, but we went far in the countryside one time when, on the food for life. But the whole time I never saw a cow. What to speak of ass? Anything in the rest of you ever see ass? You never see. What to speak of carrying loads of laundry, anything like that, we can't see. Only here we can. We can come here and then we can see. So this ass, he's very foolish. He's carrying big, big, heavy loads. Sometimes the sand, maybe they brought the sand here by asses. I doubt it. But bricks, sometimes we see them carrying bricks. Sometimes we see them carrying laundry. At the end of the day, he gets a little grass. Grass is growing everywhere. Wherever you go, grass is growing. So he's just foolish. In fact, this ass is so foolish, his another name is Vaisak Nandan. See? You didn't know. He's called Vaisak Nandan. Vaisak, that is the month just after the Mayapur festival when it starts to get hot. Hot season comes. Vaisaka, then after that comes Jaise. That is all, really. Vishnu. Very, very hot. So Vaisak means very hot season. So as he's so foolish, he becomes very happy in hot season. Everyone else is miserable. Ass is very, he's so foolish. Why? Because that time is very hot, it's dry, so hardly any grass is there. He eats a little here, eats a little there. He has to walk 3 or 4 kilometers to fill his belly. And he looks back and he sees how far I've gone. Huh? He thinks, wow, I walked so far, I must have eaten so much. I ate so much grass. So you see, in Vaisak, all the asses become very sad and happy. Huh? He's foolish, huh? You agree. He agrees, ass is foolish. So, he becomes very happy because he has to walk 5-6 kilometers just to fill his, even he doesn't fill his belly. He's just walking, but he's thinking, because he walks a long way, therefore he thinks he's eating a lot, therefore he feels very happy, and when one is happy, then he's free from anxiety, then one becomes very healthy. One's worried a lot, then his body's... That's opposite. When rainy season comes, grass is everywhere. So he eats, and he hardly moves anywhere. And he looks, and he says, I hardly moved, I hardly ate anything. He becomes very worried. And when one's worried, then he doesn't digest properly. Stress. And now they have so many classes of stress management. Because these asses, they're so foolish. They're living in that lap of sense gratification, and they're completely in anxiety. Huh? Here, you know, you get inside the car, you don't know whether you're going to make it to Delhi or not. You know, whether it'll break down and make so much noise, some smoke is coming. Yeah, I was so shocked. After you come back from India, you go to New York, and you get in the car, and all of a sudden, hey, it doesn't make any noise. You know, and you pick up the phone, and it works. You just push two buttons, and it works, you know. Living in a lap, just like this ass in the middle of rainy, everywhere grass. And he eats a little bit, and he gets an anxiety. Oh, he looks, I didn't move anywhere. He gets an anxiety, so he becomes very skinny in the rainy season, because he doesn't go, he just walks a few feet and he fills his belly and he's, oh my goodness, I didn't eat anything today. So this is foolish, materialistic person. So the jackass demon, Dhenukasura, represents the bad mentality of overburdened load carrying. And Pralambasura demon represents the lust for company of opposite sex, as well as the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. When a devotee endeavors with enthusiasm to remove these contaminations, then by Lord Balaram's mercy, they will be cast far away, like these asses were cast far away. Dhenukasura causes complete and total ignorance of one's eternal identity. It also stimulates foolish misconceptions about the eternal nature of the holy name of the Lord. Plus, it misdirects one with delusions about what is actually worshipful. These contaminations must be cast out through great endeavor on the part of the devotee. The method of the process of purification are very deep and mysterious. Therefore, it is necessary to learn about them from a bona fide spiritual master. So here it is noted, which is the next point we were going to make. Lord Balaram is the original guru, and those who are bona fide spiritual masters are empowered by him. When an aspiring devotee takes shelter of the spiritual master, he or she receives some of that transcendental shakti and is thereby able to overcome influence of this Dhenukasura. So this ignorant Balaram, he's the original spiritual master. So that is spiritual master's business. To take away that ignorance. It's like we used to say, sadhu. Sadhu means nice, you know. He doesn't, that just, we keep spiritual master like some sort of pet. And everybody has spiritual master, also has spiritual master. And he gives, just like we were on the bus, one time we went to Karoli with Sanatan Dev Goswami, who's the head priest of Sanatan Goswami's Madan Mohan temple. So one boy was sitting there next to us on the seat, so he started telling, oh yes, I have my guru in Rajasthan and this and that, and I go to see him, and he smiles very nicely, and he gives me lots of sweets. So Sanatan Dev Goswami said, so, have you asked him any questions? Well, no. He said, what is the use of having spiritual master? You don't ask any questions. You just go, you eat some sweet, you think it's sweet in the sweet shop. So I'm not criticizing the spiritual master. All right, you have spiritual master. You just go and he smiles at you and gives you some sweet. So what is that? Spiritual master means paramarsh. You must ask him some question about the goal of life. So this is your business. Spiritual master means not just to give some sweet and just like on Sanatana Goswami's disappearance day, we used to have big festival in Madan Mohan Temple, but nobody comes. They stopped that because that's also Guru Purnima. It's like now we're celebrating Gaur Purnima, but in the middle of the summer, and that day that Sanatana Goswami disappeared, that is Guru Purnima. So nobody likes to come to that Sabha because that day everybody's coming and throwing some money on the Guru's feet. So nobody likes to come and talk, glorify Sanatana Goswami. So they had to stop this program because this is Guru's business to give some kantimala and give some donation on the foot. But no, this is not spiritual master. Spiritual master means to take out ignorance from the heart of the devotee. So this Venukasura, he represents that ignorance. So that Chalavan, very nice lake is there, Sankarshan Kun, because after he killed that Venukasura demon, then they took their bath in that Kun. Beautiful Kund is there, beautiful Giri of Lord Balaram is there. Big black deity of Lord Balaram with his Bharuni Patra, his glass of madhu, also there. So then from there we move on to a very nice forest. See, this is the, you see the leaf with the tail. Krishna was asking Mother Yasoda, what is this tree which leaf has got a tail? And here you can see. See it like a little heart, but a little plume. This is coming from a people tree. So we come to that Kamudavan. Now Kamudavan is very small for us. And Kamud actually means this red lotus flower. Or a lily actually. Kamud means lily. So there's a lake there called Padmakund, but you won't find any lilies in there anymore. And if you stir up the bottom of that lake, the water becomes very black. So as soon as we come there and Brajmanaprikam, all the devotees jump in the water, and immediately becomes very black, and you take this black mud, and you can smear it all over your body, take nice mud bath. You pay thousands of dollars and sweat to do these things, but here you can do for free. So, this is a very enchanting forest. It is said that Kapil Muni did tapasya on the side of this kun, so therefore this little Kapiladev deity is also there. A little tiny temple is there beside this, so it's Kapil Muni. And Krishna and Balaram and cowherd boys used to go there and do cowherd pastimes there. Bring that book. Oh, so there's very interesting things about this place. The Kumudvan itself, nearby there's interesting places. So here, after Nanda Maharaj and all the residents of Braj, they went to Kurukshetra. Just like this year in Diwali, there was again Surya Graha, full solar eclipse. So they all went there to Kurukshetra. And they were all begging Krishna to come, and Krishna promised they would come. So when they came back, just near that Kamudvan, there's a village called Gorai. It comes from Gora, because Nanda Maharaj, he was feeling so distressed that Krishna, he had promised everybody that he would bring Krishna back with him, and all he got was a promise. So he was afraid to enter his kingdom with just a promise. But they already heard so many promises that Krishna's coming. He promised when he left he's coming. So don't feel bad if you get this answer sometime. You go to the bank to change your traveler's checks or something. They say, just now coming. And they don't come. So this thing going on, they're following their leader. Yadyada charity shrestha. Whatever the great man will do, follow me, common men will follow, so they're following. So Nanda Maharaj, again, he just came back with promise. So he did want, so he stayed in that, just on the side of the Jamuna there. One landowner was there. He received Nanda Maharaj with great gaurav, great honor. So the place became Gaurava, later became Gorai. So Nanda Baba, he just camped there. He wouldn't go inside. Now it's very interesting. This is a very interesting place. Because also nearby, there's one village called Dantia, which originally was Dantia. Comes from the name of this Dantavakra. You remember from the very end, You thought that was in Dwarka Lila, but this is Braj Lila actually. But somehow, in Srimad Bhagavatam, they don't, a lot of the pastimes aren't given in necessary order, just that all these different demons were there, so they're all lumped together. And they tell all the pastimes about, you know, all these demon-killing pastimes and other they lump them all together. So Dantavakra, he was friend of Shishupal. And Krishna killed Shishupal, he killed Salva, all these were friends of Dantavakra. Now Shishupal and Dantavakra, they're very interesting, you know who they are. This Shishupal, he's Jai. This Dantavakra is Vijay. So what happened was, after he killed Shishupal and Salva, all these demons, that Dantavakra, he became enraged. He was so enraged, he hadn't even heard that Krishna had moved out of Mathura and gone to Dwarka, so he attacked Mathura. It was all Krishna, because Krishna promised to Nanda Baba. It's a very interesting story. It's all found in, what is that, the Vishya Purana. And also I think, I haven't had chance to read in Gopal Champu, but I think also there. But in Vishya Purana it describes that Dantavakra, he was so enraged, so he attacked Mathura and he couldn't find Krishna. He was just tearing everything up. So then Krishna thought, I better go there. This was his excuse. He had to get back to Braj somehow. This was his excuse. So he came there, he killed that Dantavakra. There in Mathura, not in Dwarka, killing him in Mathura. He just smashed him on the chest with his club. And then he began to vomit blood and he fell on the ground dead. And unfortunately, he's not in our book. I don't know what Dantavakra represents. He's not in our book here. Just that he's Vijay. Jai and Vijay. His Dantavakra was Vijay. First he was Hiranyakashipu. Then he was Kumbhakarna. So Jai was Ravan and Kumbhakarna was Vijay. And then they came as Shishupal and Dantavakra. And then we know they again appeared as Jagai and Madhav. They had so much fun. Well, they only had three. Lord Vishnu had broken it down to three, but they had so much fun being the enemies of the Lord. So they came back as Jai and Vijay. I mean as Jagai and Madhav. So that time they didn't get killed. They got to take part in Lord's pastime. So then Nanda Baba, he began to cry and he said, oh, why did you go away like this? We're just suffering here. And all the Brijbasis came and they were all crying. And they were just telling, he said, Lala, you just take us someplace where we never have to see Akura. Akura will never come and take you away from us. And we'll never see all these demons and never be bothered. You please take us someplace like that. The Krishna was singing, all the Brijbasis were crying, you're singing what to do. So he decided to wind up all of, this is the end of the Braj Lila. So he didn't want them to know, because he doesn't like in Braj that they know he's all powerful and like this. So he told, well actually, Sandipani Muni taught me one mantra. And I know how to take you all to a very nice secret place. But you have to close your eyes. So they all closed their eyes. And somehow, he got them all the Brijbasis, everyone. All on his chariot. Then they opened their eyes. They were all somehow situated on Krishna's chariot. And then he divided. All of a sudden that chariot went back to Golok. All the Brijbasis went back to Golok. That's why when our Bajranab came here, everything had practically disappeared because nobody was here. Everybody went back to Golok with Krishna. So Bajranab came here. All the places were here, but no one was there. The trees were there and animals were there, but everybody, all the people were gone. He took them all back. But they didn't see what happened was one chariot, Krishna divided, one chariot went back, that Rishinlo, Brajanandan Chamsundra, he took them all back to Golok. Meanwhile, that Dwarkanath, he stayed here in another chariot, he went back to Dwarka. So this is the end of Braj Lila. All the Brijbasis went back to home, back to Godhead, back to Golok, on Krishna's chariot. It was very interesting. Huh? No, this is after. That's the thing, that sometimes they don't give the right, the order is not necessarily there in Bhagavatam. Each group, similar types of pastimes in groups like that. But this was after, because Nanda Bhavara was waiting here at this Gorai, waiting for Krishna to come, because he was afraid to enter his kingdom with just another promise from Krishna. So then, as we move on from Kamudavan, we come to Bahulavan. Now, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes very nice Mahaprabhu went to Bahulavan. When Sri Chaitanya passed through Vrindavan, herds of grazing cows saw him pass and immediately surrounding him began to move very loudly. Seeing the herds approach him, the Lord was stunned with ecstatic love. The cows then began to lick his body in great affection. Becoming pacified, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to caress the cows, and the cows, being unable to give up his company, went with him. It was with great difficulty the cowherd men were able to keep the cows back. So here they come. It was then when the Lord chanted, all the deer heard his sweet voice and approached him. When the does and bucks came and saw the Lord's face, they began to lick his body. Not being at all afraid of him, they accompanied him along the path. Bumblebees and birds like the parrot and cuckoo all began to sing loudly on the fifth note. You guys, you missed your cue. Okay. And the peacocks began to dance in front of the Lord. Upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the trees and creepers of Bahulavan became very jubilant. Their twigs stood up and they began to shed tears of ecstasy in the form of honey. So honey, this is the crying of the trees. The trees and creepers overloaded with fruits and flowers fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord and greeted him with various presentations as if they were friends. Thus all the moving and non-moving living entities of Bahulavan became very jubilant to see the Lord. It was as if friends were made happy by seeing another friend. Seeing their affection, the Lord was moved by ecstatic love. He began to sport with him exactly as a friend sports with another friend. Thus he voluntarily came under the control of his friends. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to embrace each and every tree and creeper, and they began to offer their fruits and flowers as if in meditation. The Lord's body was restless, and tears and trembling and jubilation were manifest. He said very loudly, Bolo Krishna, Bolo Krishna. All the moving and non-moving creatures began to vibrate the transcendental sound of Hare Krishna, as if they were echoing the deep sound of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord then clasped the necks of the deer and began to cry. There was jubilation manifest in the bodies of the deer, and tears were in their eyes. When a male and female parrot appeared on the branches of a tree, the Lord saw them and wanted to hear them speak. Both parrots flew unto the hand of the Lord and began to chant the transcendental qualities of Krishna, and the Lord listened to them. The male parrot sang, the glorification of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beneficial to everyone in the universe. His beauty is victorious over the gopis of Vrindavan, and it subdues their patience. His pastimes astound the goddess of fortune. His bodily strength turns Govardhan's hill into a small toy like a ball. His spotless qualities are unlimited and his behavior satisfies everyone. Lord Krishna is attractive to everyone. Oh, may our Lord maintain the whole universe. After hearing this description of Lord Krishna from the male parrot, the female parrot began to recite a description of Srimati Radharani. The female parrot said, Srimati Radharani's affection, her exquisite beauty and good behavior, her artistic dancing and chanting and her poetic compositions all so attractive that they attract the mind of Krishna, who attracts the mind of everyone in the universe. Thereafter, male parrot said, Krishna is the enchanter of the mind of Cupid, and he began to recite another verse. My dear Sari, female parrot, Sri Krishna carries the flute and enchants the hearts of all women throughout the universe. He is specifically the enjoyer of all beautiful gopis, and he is the enchanter of Cupid also. Let him be glorified. Then the female parrot began to speak jokingly to Sukha, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was struck with wonderful ecstatic love to hear her speak. Sari said, when Lord Sri Krishna is with Radharani, he is the enchanter of Cupid. Otherwise, when he is alone, he himself is enchanted by erotic feelings, even though he enchants the whole universe. Both the parrots flew onto a tree branch, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to watch the dancing of the peacocks with curiosity. When the Lord saw the bluish necks of the peacocks, his remembrance of Krishna immediately wakened, and he fell to the ground in ecstatic love. Actually, this is the place, this tree, this area here, now they've walled it off, but sometimes in the hot season, just in the beginning of the hot season even, you'll see many, many peacocks come here and dance. When the Lord saw the bluish necks of the peacocks, his remembrance of Krishna immediately awakened, he fell to the ground in ecstatic love. When the Brahmin saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was unconscious, he and Balabhadra Bhattacharya took care of him. They hastily sprinkled water over the Lord's body, and they took up their cloth and began to fan him with it. They began to chant the holy names of Krishna into the Lord's ear. When the Lord regained consciousness, he began rolling on the ground. When the Lord rolled on the ground, sharp sores injured his body. Taking him on his lap, Balabhadra pacified him. The Lord's ecstatic love increased 1,000 times when he visited Mathura, but increased 100,000 times when he wandered in the forest of Vrindavan. When Sri Chaitanya was elsewhere, the very name of Vrindavan was sufficient to increase his ecstatic love. Now, when he was actually traveling in Vrindavan forest, his mind was absorbed in great ecstatic love day and night. He ate and bathed simply out of habit. Thus I have written a description of the ecstatic love of Sri Chaitanya while manifested while he walked through the forest of Vrindavan. To describe it all would be impossible. So this is very enchanting forest. Very beautiful description of Mahaprabhu passing through this Bahulavan forest. So Bahulavan is very interesting. Because in Bahula, there was one, in this forest, there was one cow. It's named after one cow named Bahula. And she fasted all day on Ekadasi. Actually, to tell this story, we have to go back a little further. We'll tell it in between, alright. So she was fasting on Ekadasi. And just on the Dwadasi morning, she gave birth to her calf. And because she was fasting all day for Ekadasi, and that Dwadasi morning she gave birth to her calf, she was just so thirsty. You know, because she had fasted on top of everything else. I'll risk the tourist one. So she became so thirsty that even though from fasting, plus also from she was in labor, giving birth to her calf, so finally, when that calf was born, she was so thirsty. So ordinarily, they take care of the calf and feed him some milk, but this cow, she was so thirsty herself, she just ran off to find some water. When she ran off to find some water, then this lion came out of the forest. And he saw, oh, here's my breakfast. Huh? He's also going to break his Ekadasi fast. So that Bahula, she saw now her life is going to end because this lion is there and no way to escape from lion. So she began to plead, I was so thirsty I left my calf. And I haven't given, because that first milk, you know, you don't drink that milk. When calf first gives baby, then that milk, you know, is not fit for human. That's only for the calf. Then he becomes very strong if he drinks that milk. So she begged and pleaded, but I haven't even given my calf was just born. He never got any of that milk. You know, so you please, just, I cross my heart. I'll come back. You know? And she showed all her toes, they were not crossed, you know, no fingers. four hands she showed, no crosses, I promise. So that lion, he was very, because lions are also very noble, so he said, all right, you go and feed your calf, then you come back, and then I'll eat you. So lion, he began to wait very patiently, so she went back and she began to feed her calf, and she was crying, and calf saw that his mother's crying, he said, oh, my dear mother. Why are you crying? He said, because this is the last time I will see you. He said, what? What is it? And then she told the whole story, and that calf, he began to cry. And he said, no, you're my mother. You've given life to me, therefore I will give my life for you. He said, no, I'm just old cow. You have your whole life in front of you. I will go to the lion, and you don't worry. You have nice cowherd boy to take care of you. I will go. He said, no, how I can? They were both crying, and big argument was going, cowherd boy came. Cowherd boy came, he saw everyone's crying and argument, he said, what's going on? Then when he heard what happened, he said, no, how I can see my cows die? Either my cow or my calf, I can't bear it. I will go, you two live, I will go. This is very horrible. I will never, if my cow is eaten by this lion, then how will I manage my life? Then I will go. He said, no, you can't go. You have taken so nice care of me, how you can go? And calf was crying, no, you're my mother, how you can go? And like this, everybody was crying, so all three of them went there to the lion. And lion, he's so surprised, he's just waiting for cow, and now cow and calf and cowherd boy, everyone's come. So when he came and he heard their discussion, he became so surprised, he gave up his desire to eat that cow. And at that moment, Lord Krishna appeared on the scene and blew on his flute. And immediately everyone realized, because there's a whole big pastime behind this, that one time there was two Gandharvas named Hoo-Hoo and Ha-Ha. It's true. Hoo-Hoo and Ha-Ha. They were doing some performance before all the demigods. And at that time, Narad Muni and Palastha Muni. Or no, maybe he was also president here in Vrindavan. Not president. No, Hi. But he was here with Hi. What was his name? He's also from Spanish-speaking country. No. Anyway, I can't remember the name of that rishi just now. So anyway, all the demigods, they stood up and paid their respects as these two rishis walked into the arena, except for Hoo-Hoo and Ha-Ha. So that rishi, he became very upset. He's from Mexico, this devotee. Hi-Hi was also president there, that's why I got mixed up with Hi-Hi. So anyway, he became very upset. He said, you rascals, you didn't pay any respects. Therefore I curse you to take birth as animals on the earth. And Hoo and Ha, they said, look, you're a great mystic yogi. You sit in meditation, you see whether within our hearts we were paying our respects or not. So he sat in mystic yogi, saw that when the two, Hoo and Ha, they saw him come, within their hearts, they had offered many prayers and respects. He could see by his transcendental vision. He said, oh, I made big mistakes. So he thought, what to do? He said, I've done a big mistake. And I'm standing here on the earth. Earth has tolerated this mistake, so she's also false. So she will become a cow. This Hoo-Hoo, he'll become a lion. Narad Muni, he also didn't stop me. He'll become a cowherd boy. Like this. Everybody went down to he became that crocodile that killed, that got, not killed, but he attacked Gajendra. So Huhu became the crocodile, Haha became the... Or Huhu became the lion and Haha became the crocodile. That's another pastime, another play. So anyway, they all took part in this... lion was Huhu, and calf was this Rishi, what was his name? And Narmuni was the cowherd boy, like that. Everyone was there. And also, somehow it's described, and I'm still trying to research it out, because all the verses describing this Bahulavan say that the Bahula was the eternal wife of Lord Hari. So one of the queens in Dwarka has something to do with Bahula. So, but that I haven't found out yet. The Dwarka Leela is not my specialty. So you can go there to this Bahulavan. There's beautiful Sankarshan Kund is there. And on one side, there's a little, side of the kund, there's a little temple, and you can see that cow is there, and Bahula cow is there, and the calf is there, and the cowherd boy is there, and lion is there, everyone is all there, and this little deity inside this temple. So this is that Bahulavan. Then from there, we come to Ral. Ah, no, first we come to Santanu Kund. From Bahulavan we come to probably before Bahulavan we come to Santanu Kund. That's probably, yeah, that's the correct. We missed one. Santanu Kund is there. Anybody remember Santanu? There was one king, Santanu. It was the father of Bhishmadev. Just like we're talking about this Bisham heat in the summertime. In the Hindi we say like the Bisham, because when the demigods, they heard this vow, that we know the story, Santanu, he fell in love with the Satyavati, but her father was very tricky. So he said, no, I can't give my daughter, because then your son, he may get son, he may kill my grandchild. So like that. So he's thinking what to do. So then Bhishmadev, when he heard the whole story, he said, all right, I take vow, I will never marry. So the demigods, they were shocked, you know. They can't imagine anybody giving up company of women. So, and especially Kshatriya. Kshatriya, we see, they can have many wives like that. So they thought, oh, this was horrible. So they go, Bhishma. You know, so still, even today, there's like a big accident is on the highway, you know. The newspaper says, Bhisham. Accident was really just shocked. So they were all like, Bhishma. They were all shocked. So he got his name Bhishma. But anyway, Santanu, he came to that place, Santanu Kund, and there's a road from Govardhan to Mathura. Just in between, there's a village called Satoya. Nowadays it's called Satoya. Or something close to that. But Santanu Kund is there. Bhishmadev, he performed great penances and austerities. Not Bhishmadev, this Santanu. When he was, as a result of his penances and austerities, of course the Pujari there says for 60,000 years, but I don't remember anybody in Mahabharata living for 60,000 years. But anyway, he performed penances and austerities there, according to Pujari, 60,000 years. But anyway. So as a result, Krishna gave him, he asked him what kind of benediction. He said, I want a son who's just as powerful like Balaram. He said, well, there's no one powerful like Balaram, but anyway, like, you said like, all right, so I'll give you one son, almost, he'll be just as powerful, almost like Balaram. And he will be able to, he will get benediction and he will live as long as, he will be able to die when he wants. And he will be world famous. So this one of the 12 Mahajans, Bhishmadev, took birth as a son of Maharaj Santanu because he performed his penance just between this Kamudavan and Bahulavan in the forest of Braj. So powerful, this forest. So then after Bahulavan, we come to Ral. Now, just down here on the end of this road, when you're going to Delhi, where you turn onto the Delhi highway, that's called Chatikara. Because Chatikara means <clears throat> when all the cowherd men and everyone left Gokul and they went to Vrindavan, they came here to Vrindavan, then they passed just this way, just behind this Krishna Balaram tree, they came and they went up the road a ways. And when they got there, they made a circle of all the Shakat. Shakat means this bullock cart. The name is changed, now it's called Chatikara, but Shakata Bara used to be the name. But anyway, so they made a big circle. With their Shataka, they made a circle. So it became Chatikara, they made a big circle. You know, just like we saw in the old days in Wild West, you know, they'd bring all the covered wagons and make a big circle and like that. And the same way, the same reason, to give protection. And in the morning they began to boil the milk and cook all the sweets. So Nanda Baba Maharaj, he made his camp there at Chatikara. Meanwhile, Brisbanu Maharaj, he heard that Nanda Baba moved out of Gokul, so he was there in Rabba. We'll come there later. So he moved to another place. It's just up the road also from Ral. We're trying to get to Ral. But anyway, we're going to go up the road a ways. There's one place called Basati. Nowadays, if you go there, it's Basanti. But those days, it was called Basati, and that was where Brisbanu was doing his vas. That's what it's called, Basati, if he was doing his vas there, living there. So one side is Basati, other side is Chatikara, middle place, that is Ral. So there, and this is another thing that I'm still trying to find out, all I know is that everyone tells me this is one of the first places that Radha and Krishna met, but nobody's ever told me any pastime about this place. So what is the meeting? But this is one of the first places, it's right in between, you know, so they would meet. So that time when Krishna was staying in Chatikara, then he was taking care of the calf. His name was Vatsapal. Later he became Gopal. We saw that story in Nandagam. So he was there, he was Vatsapal. He was taking care of the calves. He was still quite young. So all of these places are there. Just before we come to Govardhan. Govardhan, we could probably give the whole rest of the course just on Govardhan. I haven't figured out how I'm going to shrink it down. But anyway, I think our time is up, so any questions? Where are we meeting tomorrow? Just down the road here, you see this little white building, and beside you see a red gate. This is the Bhaktivedanta Swami Memorial Park. So I'll try and get the key from Krishnadas Kaviraj and we'll all meet there in the Prabhupada Memorial Park. Yes. I don't know. But maybe because he's in touch with agriculture. That he carries this plow. But he has very interesting type of agriculture. What do you do with this plow? There's so many weeds growing, so you want to plant your nice wheat, just like now everywhere you go you see the winter wheat is coming. So before they have to plow up everything. Like that. So Lord Balaram, just like we were talking about this Denukasura, he's got that plow to plow up our heart. And he cultivates living entities. There's Lord Balaram. So he's got this plow to plow all those anarthas out of our hearts. Like he's always carrying this plow. Other hand, he's got we say club, but it's not a club like we think. It's actually, the word is musal. The musal is this big, it's a big wooden thing. It's got a little, in the center it goes like that. It comes down like this, and then the center, it's a little narrow in the center. I don't know why, but anyway. And that's what they use to husk the rice. They beat the rice with
the narrow part is to hold by the
hand. Ah. That's what he actually carries. Although he knows, in Dwarkalila he knows this gada, but that's not the particular club that Lord Balaram carries. He carries this muscle, but how will you describe muscle in English? So they just said club. So we got the idea. That's why you don't see that big silver Hanuman club anymore in Balaram's altar. But that's from, anyway, that's from Dwarkali Lind. And that's not the club that he carried. He carried a muscle when he was here in Braj. Brajlila. You see, if you go to Chintaharan Ghat, just next to Brahmanda Ghat, just hardly a kilometer. You just go behind Brahmanda Ghat, up the Jamuna, or I guess it's down. Down the Jamuna bank. You go there's a little road there where you come into Brahmanda Ghat, and the road goes down to Brahmanda Ghat, but just back there where it turns and goes to Gokul, there's a dirt road going the other way, and just hardly a kilometer down, you come to a very beautiful, peaceful place called Chintaharan Ghat. And there's a beautiful deity of Balaram with a musel. You can actually see where the musel is there. He's got his plow and his musel. So why alone? I don't know. But here we have Krishna and Balaram together. And here also we have Krishna and Balaram together. Hello, Sri Krishna Balaram Ki.